CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. Friday morning, you've got to the weekend, and we've got Ben, and we've got Leanne, and we've got Mbolelo, some P-Way running things in the studio, and most importantly, you are here this morning, so we can get on with it. We can wrap up a good week. So thank you again to everybody for the birthday messages yesterday, which was really nice. Very, very sweet of people. Some lovely, lovely things said, and I felt very loved, and, you know, I felt like people are by far much nicer than I expected anyone to be, so that's always nice. It's horrible to be reminded of people the other way, so this is a great way to have things happen. So if you
people delete people's names
on their birthdays, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that a thing?
No, well, I actually do the happy birthday thing. I go onto Facebook, and that's a great place to just kind of be reminded of people's birthdays. So a lot of people choose not to have their birthday notification on, so it doesn't help at all then. But what I used to do, I still do it occasionally, like on, you know, take an arbitrary date, the 12th of April. I'll go on there, and I'll say, okay, well, who on the 12th of April? If I see that I've said happy birthday to someone like 2 years in a row and haven't even got a response from them, and I don't really see them or think about them all that often or anything else, then I just unfriend them to just clear out some space, you know? But it's not like a mean thing. It's just really, well, we're not talking anyway, so why must I pretend to be friends with you on social media? I just think it's a useful way to, because you can't delete everyone, and one day it'll take forever. You have to go through the list and,
yeah, sure.
You know, so it's just,
yeah,
it's,
I mean, I totally get that from your perspective, but I think from Leanne's perspective, it's just full of malice and ill feeling. Because that's just, I can just see her with her phone going, ah, you bitch, deleting you right now.
No, you wouldn't be far from wrong.
If you're wondering why we started the show just a little bit late this morning, yesterday, Mbolelo had a brilliant idea. So we have this machine here called a Comrex, which is it's a machine that we use to connect to the studio from my house, and then, you know, all the basic inputs come in through this software that we use, and then it all goes to this machine, and from here it goes to the studio. And then in the studio in Joburg, it comes out as the podcast. And for the last 2 days, we've had some technical issues with that. So I took it in yesterday, and I left the machine there because they needed to fix it. This was at about lunchtime. And then Greg, who's a genius, figured out what was going on, loaded new software onto this machine or whatever. And then it was at the office, and this is at like 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So Mbolelo has this brilliant idea that why don't we just get the Uber guys to drop it off, right?
Ah.
Only
what, by themselves?
Yeah, you see, you just give them a package. It's Uber package or whatever, and that you can track them on your phone, and you this little machine, which is probably about the size of I don't know, like a woman's little clutch bag, I suppose. This thing's worth like R100,000 though. So,
oh my lord.
Yeah. So Greg was very nervous about it. He goes, I don't know if we should send this, and I said to him, please, you know, just wrap it up nicely in some bubble wrap, which it was. And then it arrived here perfectly. You know, nobody knows what they're transporting. I could have had diamonds in it. Could have been drugs. Could have been anything.
Nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know.
Nobody's going to know.
And that's why we started a bit late, because I had to reboot the whole thing. I thought last night when I connected it, it was fine. And then I had to start her up again this morning. But that's the...
Some people may not know, is that Greg's first thing as well. It's like, it's going to cost a fortune. Gareth lives in, you know, Potensi, basically. It's miles away.
Right.
So I was like, no, there's Google. I think it's called, not Google, Uber Package.
Yes.
So the guys come on a scooter, actually.
Yes.
So it's how I had shoes delivered. The guy pitches up, you give him the stuff, puts it in his scooter like Mr. Delivery, and Bob's your uncle. And it's a great time to be alive for that reason.
But correct.
That was essentially the longest scooter trip ever ridden by a scooter person, because Gavin does. Gareth lives in a different province.
I mean, do.
That's true.
That's an hour 15 on a scooter, I reckon.
No, the guy. Well, look, the guy was exhausted by the time he got here. He hadn't, you know, malnourished.
I bet.
Yeah, hadn't had a pee for like 3 days.
All like the flies and muckies on his visor.
Yeah.
From like.
That's it.
In the highway.
That's exactly right.
you got to make money in this country, hey? You got to stick up.
You got to do your thing. No, absolutely. Anyway, he didn't seem too much worse for wear, and we got the package and everything sorted out now. But yeah, I had a lovely birthday and felt thoroughly spoiled. You know, it's funny, like you also reach a point where I had dinner with the family last night, which was, you know, it was really nice. And that's, you just spend some time with your little nephews and, you know, you talk shit with the family and you got the dogs running around and that's nice. I don't want to spend a birthday in any other way. That's the best way to do it. I'll see my friends over the weekend. And then, you know, what else do you want for a birthday? These people who drag it out for like 6 weeks, it's a bit self-indulgent.
Birthday month.
The birthday month, yeah. You know, it's like, as Mbulelo always says, the wedding guys, you know, the ones who make a wedding last for like 6 weeks as well. You got this, and you got that, and you got that, and you got this. And I mean, listen, it comes from a good place, but so much stuff to do. Anyway, weekend's coming, and Mbulelo says he's already spotted a few summer dresses and tarts walking around Joburg looking extra summery. That's nice.
Yeah, wait until tomorrow morning.
Sun's out, buns out, and I just love it. I let's get back to it. I'm into it. I'm into good-looking people. Let's get in there. You know, if you're not good-looking like me,
you want to look at good-looking people. Tomorrow morning's going to be absolutely freezing, right?
Thanks, Debbie Downer. Yeah, thanks. We're looking forward to... Yeah, girls running around in their punties and bras. And what do? You bring up, like, cold weather and shit.
And Leanne shouting them, get inside and put on practical clothes.
Yes, stop it, you bitches.
You're going to get a cold.
Like those old ladies used to hang out of the window and go, get off my lawn. Those kind.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Leon.
Yeah, so, Ben, what's been happening with you? We need an update.
Yeah, not much, hey, guys, not much. It's been a good week. It's been a very good week. But, like, I've got to the point now where I want Fridays to be golf day. So if you have Monday to Thursday and you've done a shitload of things, hopefully, then Friday afternoon should be golf. And we know we get into that jolly season where Joburg just metamorphosizes into, like, the beautiful butterfly that it is. So, yeah, playing golf today, which I'm very excited about. But, work's going great, huh?
Is it?
It's just interesting interacting with new people. I absolutely love it. I've got an actual full-time member of staff now who I spend every day with, which I'm quite excited about. I didn't think I'd be that person, but yeah, here we are.
Are you a bus?
Yeah, I guess so. I've got to sign his official forms now, so yeah, I guess I could be a boss.
Okay,
it's cool. You know, like it's I'm training. So there's this guy working with us. He's actually going to appear on Mbulelo's sports show because he's hugely famous. And so Cooks is a really, really solid guy, and I'm going to teach him a lot of things that I've been learning out of content creation for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's shadowing me on a couple of things, and then yeah, it's just a way of expanding the business and ultimately having more fun. Like, you know, in my mind, my immediate business partners now, we're going to just obviously expand and become hugely rich and
prominent. Yes, that's what you want. Absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, there's absolute key criteria as in who can work for us. And, you know, it's the little things, like, you know, you have to go and lift weights every day. So literally, Cooks comes to the gym with me.
Okay.
You know, it's like little basics. You're not just hiring someone to fulfill a role.
This is indentured slavery. You actually want to take over his whole life. This has got nothing to do with just a job. His whole life now belongs to you. He's in your thrall.
Guys, you absolutely got to own your bullshit in life, right? So Cooks has got to live the brand of what we are. We're sports people for sports people. So you can't just come here and pull out your vegan omelet and then procrastinate over like who's most suffering today in the world. No, you need to get into it. We talk about sports. You need to be a proper bugger, and you need to be strong as fuck.
Fair enough, Ben.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Ben has rediscovered slavery. This is great. This is great.
I own you in your spare time. People to their best potentials.
Whatever.
Don't you try sully my vision here?
Can I ask you this,
Ben?
Yeah,
I'm on board.
No,
I'm on board. I told my guys, no fatties on the team.
Yeah.
They know that very well.
No, sure.
On my team.
Sure.
Sorry, listen, Gareth, before you get into it, and it was his birthday on Monday, so what did we do? We took him to Hooters because he wanted to go to Hooters.
Oh, let's go.
Hooters still exists.
It still exists. I can't believe that place is allowed to carry on because...
Gareth, we were there on Monday, okay? We were there on Monday, and there was probably 15 men drinking beer. Just boozing.
On a Monday.
On a Monday.
That's amazing.
I had a delightful fish taco, and I had like a half draft, but the oaks were getting stuck in. Cigarettes, just amazing. On a Monday.
I've never been. Women go? Do families go?
Sure. Probably not. Probably not families.
Families.
I think women go.
Is there an age restriction?
No, it's a restaurant. It's a restaurant that serves... I mean, like, it's not a strip
chicken
club.
Wings.
Yeah,
chicken wings. Chicken wings and shit.
It's not like American Hooters. No. So, Leanne, you may be referencing, because it's actually a family restaurant in America. They actually went way off the policy. It's not even like they're getting the best-looking girls with the proper knockers anymore. It's just like anyone who can work.
Okay.
Let's be honest. I mean, okay, this is going to sound horribly disparaging, but there aren't many good-looking girls in the service industry in this country, okay? It's just an absolute fact of life. If you're a good-looking girl, you're going to be on Instagram, or someone's probably paying for your life, or fulfilling education.
So are they quite?
But in America, you can go to any back ass hick town, and there's going to be absolute like 8 out of 10s serving because it's like a cool job. You know, it's like something you aspire to. So you make your family proud with. But like,
So in the first month of Hooters, what was great was I was back in South Africa, and they had the American girls running it.
Oh, wow.
So they were doing it properly, in the first month.
Then
they employed the proper chicks, and then...
the proper chicks.
No.
Wow, it's a bit of a slippery slope. You start talking about Hooters, you're only going to come across sounding like a bit...
Well, this is going to happen.
Can I go back to
this now?
You know,
it's Hooters.
Go back to another thing. Because as fascinating as Hooters is, either you go to... I mean, like, I just don't get it, right? I don't get it. You either go to a restaurant where the food is the priority, or you go to a strip club where you want to see naked women, because there are already very good establishments. There's one just down the road from our offices. It's one of the reasons we chose Rivonia. I would prefer to go to than this Hooters you speak of. I've been there once or twice, didn't find it particularly interesting. But I want to go back to something Ben said just now. You know, he's building this business, and he and his business partners, they want to get rich and stuff. I want to know what a rich Ben would do with his time. What would Ben, if you were a gazillionaire, like Elon Musk money, what would you be doing with it? Because
I often think this.
You do, because everybody does, right? Like, what kind of a rich person would I be? What would you do?
Yeah, in the last year, particularly focusing on myself and why it's okay to want to be rich. You know, you get people saying, it's just a billionaire, this and that. Bullshit. You want options in life, right? And that's what you really want.
Yes.
Like, I really like cars. You know, I don't, like, right now it's a very stupid expense for me because it's just, I'm not there yet. But I really like cars, and I really like travel, and I really like wildlife and photography and stuff like that. So between those three things, and out of a very functional sort of house away from people, Gareth, it would be very simple. I'd actually be a very boring rich person. I'd be hugely boring. But I would have animals.
So like now.
Yeah. Exactly, Leah.
It's nice to know that you'd keep to your core value.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. If you do enjoy your own... No, it really wasn't that funny.
There's a dynamic between the two of you that I wasn't here for in the beginning, and I love. I'm here for it.
Well, it's just that Leanne's very mean. That's fine.
I'm so embarrassed. My brother and his wife and these two kids of theirs. They're going to the Kruger National Park, but they've hired one of those wagons, those mobile homes. You know those. It's like a glorified caravan, though. I don't care how he paints it.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
Right.
It's parked in his driveway at the moment. This big, galumphing, ugly,
obnoxious.
It's just a horrible... I knew that there was going to be a day where someone in the family would want to have something like a caravan. And I'm just horrified. I feel...
Very sad moment.
As I drove past and I saw this thing parked in his driveway, I thought, this horrible.
Did you go into it?
Not a chance. I wouldn't set foot in one of those things.
Oh, come on.
Someone.
These motorhomes are quite cool at the moment.
It's a glorified caravan.
To who? Quite cool.
Living in your
who?
Van. It's a whole trend.
No, I think it's
that's called van life. But have you seen van life? That's where you want to be. You don't want to have the motorhome. So van life is where you gut like a Vito. You gut it out and you make the Ritz.
When you've got children, you need to up your van life game. You can't all four of you be in a little
this whole thing makes me ill.
Combi.
This whole thing makes me ill.
But, just remember, just because something has a hashtag doesn't mean it's cool. So,
amen.
Take that van life.
Tracy says, don't diss a camper van holiday. It's for the kids, and it's friggin' great. We did it a few years ago. Best holiday ever. Well, you're welcome to it. It is.
Tracy always makes a show about herself. So.
Ben, you say I'm mean.
No, I hope no one sees my brother and his wife in this thing. I mean, I'll just be so humiliated. Oh, there they go, those. You know, there's other cliffs in their mobile home. Their house is on wheels. You know, there's just
other cliffs.
I love that it's about you.
Of course it's about me. I'm horrified. Of course it's about me.
I love it.
Anyway,
I
said to the boys at supper last night, I said, listen, boys, you must remember you're not allowed to poo in the wagon.
Ooh.
Because you can never. I said
the pollution blocks.
Yeah, well, that's even more revolting. But at least you're not, you know, using it's communal. What are those things called? Those camping sites or whatever.
And then you get the black water pipe. You get the brown water pipe.
Oh my God! So I said to them, boys, you must be very careful. This is your parents have decided to do this to you at an early age, which is a horrible thing to happen. And they both like looking at me like I'm telling them a horror story. And I go. You may have fun, yes, but remember that you should never have a house on wheels. And I said, no matter what it looks like on the inside, on the outside, it just looks like a Pikey's caravan. And they said, what's a Pikey? Yeah, and I said, a Pikey.
This is why you're so valuable.
This is where this is where I do my duty as a member of the family.
You can say, look, boys, a lot like marijuana, you think like you think you're having fun, but ultimately you're sending the wrong image to society and people will judge you for life.
Yeah, you'll never be taken seriously. Anyway, the eldest one, I think, started to get it because he was asking a lot of awkward questions of his father and mother by the time they left supper. But the younger one is, he's just excited because the bunk beds and all that shit. And I can understand that. But that novelty will wear off. And once they realize that you can't actually be in the motorhome part of it while it's moving, then they'll suddenly realize this is not fun at all because we may as well just have brought a caravan. And who wants one of those? You know those like 1970s Jurgens? They're always orange and brown and beige. And you'd see them on the highways going off to places like, I don't know, the supremely south coast of KZN or like in Mpumalanga. And then you always see those signs that say camping area or caravan area or whatever. I always thought, oh, serial killer land and people who fight with their dogs and, you know, people who tie their kids to the front bumper when they go for a pee, that kind of thing. It's not my scene.
Pedo village.
Pedophiles. It's just horrible people. Vans.
It's always clogging up traffic as well. Going 120 the whole way, and now I'm doing 80. I wonder why. And there's a caravan.
Disgusting.
Thanks.
No, caravan. And then, you know, I said to them, boys, it's very important also that you don't use the bathroom facilities in this mobile home at all. You must not use them. In fact, just treat it like a kitchen. And unfortunately, you've got the kitchen attached to your sleeping quarters. So really, it's like a squatter camp with wheels. But I said to them, but you've got to be very mindful of the fact that your mother's going to be cooking your breakfast in the same room that you sleep in. So I know that sounds terribly superior, but they must enjoy their holiday. They're doing it for a week. I couldn't do it. There's no way. There's no way I could do this. It's terribly embarrassing for me. Don't know how to.
I just think that'll be a really great reality show. Is you've actually got to put four people into a motorhome for a week and see what happens. I think you'd get the most the most brilliant, because in the beginning, everyone will be like, yay, we're going on a road trip, we're going on an adventure, and the inner child will be screaming for joy. And then literally the first day, when one person drops a giant log in there, the dynamic is broken. You can even have it like, that's the way that the pilot episode finishes, the first person to drop a log, and you can just taste the tension in the air.
Ben, you're a genius. This would be a great show.
More than the tension in the air.
Yeah. Chris says, we're off to the Kruger Park this weekend as well. We shall be actively looking out for your brother. Stuff the animals. Nice one, Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah, Chris. And always have a very judging glare as you go past. Yeah,
as you go past, look at them with contempt.
Disappointment. Disappointment.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm going to go. Big Friday ahead.
Yeah, all right, Ben. Go and enjoy your golf.
Hooters and mobile homes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loving the show today. That's what Brigitte says. Hooters and mobile homes. Loving the show today. That's very nice. Thank you, Ben, for bringing Hooters back into our reality. And
always try.
And to my brother for mobile homes. Now we're cooking. We're like poor whites in a state like Arkansas. All right. Thank you very much. Cheers, Ben.
Bye, guys. Have a good weekend. Ciao.
Good to see you. All right. So the mobile home aside, apparently Leanne has some incredible story, and the only way that you could probably make it through a mobile home weekend or week is if you were high on drugs. So apparently mushrooms, I don't know if these are magic mushrooms or just normal mushrooms, are apparently capping the alternative protein market. This is interesting for people who are into that stuff. And also for people who, Bulelo and Ben were saying earlier, they only like being around healthy people. They encourage this, inverted commas. They basically force their staff to be like them.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's just, for me, it's like the next cheap food that they're going to make expensive.
Uh-oh.
Because you can harness this protein from mushrooms. And, of course, now with everyone being vegan, you know, it was like cauliflowers before. They cost the same as broccoli. And now they're so expensive because you can make cauliflower rice out of them, and it's a substitute. And so the same thing's happening with mushrooms. So there's mycoprotein, which you get from fermented mushrooms, and that can create meat-free alternatives. I suppose if you think about it, we've had big steak mushrooms
as
burgers.
Yeah, but it's not magic mushrooms. This is just normal mushrooms, right?
Yeah, these are normal mushrooms.
Okay, because...
and they're now being seen as the big food to help create this sustainable food system.
Right.
So, yeah, these startups are literally sprouting like mushrooms overnight. And it's all about the plant-based burgers, the sausages, the chicken nugget substitutes. Well, mushrooms are now being added to this. So they're going to become expensive, mark my words.
Aren't they already? Because I buy mushrooms quite often. I like mushrooms for breakfast on toast, for example. But also, if you're a vegetarian or a vegan and you come to my house, that's pretty much what you're getting, is mushrooms. So I don't know. I don't know that this is such a breakthrough novel thing. To me, that's always what I feed people who only eat fruit and veg. So to me, it's not so strange. Did cauliflower really get more expensive when people started making cauliflower rice?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know this.
It tripled in price. Tripled in price. All of a sudden. And it's always, as I'm climbing onto a trend, I notice these things.
Okay. DK says you've got to watch something called Fantastic Fungi. Is that a TV show or something, DK? We don't know what it is. I've noticed that the desire and price has really mushroomed out of control, says Carl.
Very good.
Corona's Boring says, I'm a mycologist. A king oyster mushroom has 2 times the protein of beef. How's that? A lion's mane mushroom helps to reconnect neural paths in the brain. Listen, these things are magical. They really are. Not just the ones that make you hallucinate.
Mushrooms as well. I actually just read an article about 2 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
Have been proven to prevent cancer in women.
Wow.
Women who eat mushrooms every day are less likely to have cancer than those who don't, along with green tea.
So DK's
and you don't have to have them together.
DK's just filling us in. It is a documentary, that fantastic fungi thing. And I mean, this is amazing. You've obviously hit a nerve because Beth has got something to say about this. Corn is a vegetarian food brand. They've been using mycoprotein from mushrooms for a long time now. Cauliflower steaks, people are talking about cassava, which is a very popular vegetable on the west coast of Africa. That's gone up in price, apparently, too. Lion's mane mushrooms are amazing, says somebody. That's really, really interesting. Listen, I love this stuff. You've seen how many kinds you can get at the average shop now. They used to just be, you know, this white mushrooms, and you didn't know what kind they were. They just all looked the same. And that was all you got.
Now you've got
really exotic.
You've got shiitake mushrooms.
Shiitake, yes, that's right. What is because I again, and like I do make mushrooms at home. I cook them for breakfast very often. So is there a particular kind that's nicer than the others? Are any of you expert in this? We've heard about lion's mane. I haven't seen those.
Depends on the cuisine as well. I mean, obviously Asian foods, you get a whole lot of different mushrooms being used. Yeah. Like oyster mushrooms, shiitake mushrooms. but, you know, we grew up with the Denny mushrooms, which are button mushrooms.
Right.
Yeah, they do have different flavors and strengths. Like, if you know, reconstituted mushrooms like porcini, for instance, those are very strong.
Can you imagine being the first human who tried these things? How many people died because they ate the wrong ones, and yep. and then the guys who ate the ones that are like drugs and started to space out completely. Imagine our early ancestors picking these things off the ground and going, I'm really hoping this is not one of the death ones, and popping it in their mouth, and then just, you know, you sit there and wait, and everybody watches them in the tribe around the fire. They sit and they watch them for about half an hour, and they see whether or not there's a bad effect. And sometimes these guys would go on trips, and sometimes they'd have just a very nice meal, and sometimes they'd just drop down dead. I mean, it's such a spectrum of stuff when you come to mushrooms. I love to think about how it all started. It's got to be the weirdest stuff you've ever seen.
Well, they probably tried to feed them to animals first. Although, you know, you'd have to chop it up and stuff because animals can often sense when it's not edible.
Hmm.
But they probably did a lot of animal testing.
Shame, I'm sure they did. But in those days, you know, life was also cheap. So you'd sometimes just take one of your children that you didn't like the most and you'd just try it out on them.
Because you had 24 of them.
Ill.
Yeah. Yeah, if one of your kids was already ill, you're like, well, we're going to lose little Ethan. We may as well test out some foods on him. Hey, little Ethan, are you hungry?
Yes, Mommy.
Yeah, have
want
this.
Some shiitake soup?
Oh, my God. All right, very good.
So there's some theories
we'll
that...
see them getting more expensive, which is sad. It's, you know, Mbulelo, you've often said that to eat a good diet, you don't need to spend a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the market just the trends and the needs change everything.
Well, I also just think people become so obsessed with the new thing and not actually being on a sustainable diet. Like, it's because people want to, ooh, I want to try this, I want to try that. Like, you really only need to eat like 8 things, but people want to try everything. That's where it becomes expensive. It's like if you actually just stuck in a lane. It's very, very affordable.
You're probably right. But like, we've got this obsession, and especially people who are spoilt and soft in the world today, they're like obsessed with having to try a million different things. Instead of just, you know, we know what works, and most of us have a favorite meal, and maybe we have 2 or 3 favorite meals if we're really indulgent. You could really stick to that your whole life long, and you'd be fine, right? Foodies everywhere are going crazy right now. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Don't you live? What's the point?
I've been advised from a family member that I must just for a while let people live. So, Leanne, right. I'm with you.
Okay.
Shiitake mushrooms all the way. Let's do it.
There's a 5,000 Rand reward offered for the Table Mountain National Park tree bark strippers. I kid you not, there is a group of people. They've got to be like complete nutcase hippies who are going around and stripping bark off the trees, because I can't imagine who would do this. I mean, what, use it for fuel? Anyway, the big reward is a whole $5,000 if you manage to have information and give it to the police about these people. It's not our desire, they say, to see people go to jail. But urgent intervention is required. Apparently these people...
What are they doing with it?
They're stripping the bark off the trees. So 10 more trees were discovered this week to have been stripped in the Newlands Forest. 2 more mature trees were found bark stripped on Monday near the Newlands Ravine. And apparently... the Cape Beach was fully girdled for about 2 meters, and the culprit even left his lunch or dinner rubbish right there. The contents suggesting it was a single person, probably stripping on a Sunday night or a Monday during the day. This is what these busybodies in the Newlands Forest have discovered. Apparently, these guys come in, they strip these trees, and I think they sell the bark as, I don't know, fuel. Must be, right?
No, remember, some types of bark also can be medicinal. So it could be so in Cape Town, there's, if you head towards sort of that Newlands area, there's mm-hmm. there's guys who are smoking Ben's favorite devil's lettuce, and they sell it as like medicinal. So I'm not saying that's what it is, but remember that also exists. So that industry.
Anyway, I just don't know that $5,000 is enough. What you want is...
especially if you live in Newlands.
Yeah, you want to offer a lot more, and then people will actually go and hunt these guys with guns, you know? That's what you want. You offer like $50,000, and then suddenly like some retired army colonel is going to go, oh, this is my moment to shine, $50,000. Let me go.
Barrel dusting off her shotgun.
Exactly. She's going to take
it up. Heading out into the world.
Right.
So I know that area really well because that was a huge part of my training run. I used to live in that area.
Mm-hmm. Newlands. Not surprised. Yeah, it's right up Newlands Forest.
So what it is, and what's that?
It's right. It's obviously right up your street. That's very, very impressive. I mean, where else would you have lived in Cape Town?
Yeah, what must I do about that? I'm not living anywhere else. It's a protected area, by the way. I don't know if you know that. That Newlands Forest is a protected, and hugely, I mean, it is probably in South Africa, the most protected part of Yuppieville anyway, that is super protected and in constitution. So I think that's the bigger issue as well.
Okay.
It's like, it's not they're taking bark. It's like, excuse me, you're not allowed to touch anything.
I can't believe it either, but that's a headline in the news this morning about bark stripping in Newlands. South Africa's unemployment rate has surged to the highest in the world. That's of 82 countries that are monitored by Bloomberg. The jobless rate rose to 34.4%. It's so great to know that we can still win in something, South Africa. It's not just, you know, the odd swimmer who does well for us at the Olympics. Here we are at the top of the polls with 34.4% unemployment in South Africa. This is just great because, of course, when 34.4% of your population cannot get work, that's just perfect for social cohesion and for equality and for making sure that people don't behave badly. You know, nothing like having unemployment at sky-high levels. Great. Well done, South Africa. This is squarely to be laid at the government's feet. Because if you had business-friendly policies instead of labor-friendly policies, if you didn't have a minimum wage, if you allowed people to work in whatever way, shape, or form that they could, and there was less red tape and paperwork, we would have more jobs. God alone knows there's stuff that needs doing in South Africa, right? We've got lots that needs doing. This country is a mess. We've got people who could be fixing roads. We got people who could be picking up crap that's lying on the side of the roads. We could have people who could be planting gardens. We could have people who'd be painting buildings. I mean, I've said it before, but government buildings alone, you could get a bunch of people and pay them, I don't know, you know, a couple of rand a day, really, and it would be better for them than nothing. But we can't because there's stupid policy in the way. Plus, of course, government just hate business because they don't understand how money's made. So if they could get their shit together, we might be able to tick that down to at least 25%. And that would be horrible, but it wouldn't be as bad as 34.4%. So congratulations, government, making us world leaders at something at least. There's one thing where we're good. It's great. Isn't it terrific? And we are doing a No Politics Friday, so I'm not going to linger on that for too long. But here's something really controversial. Forget pineapple-topped pizzas. A watermelon pizza crust is the latest creation.
That
left people gasping. In the culinary world, one of the most decorated recipes has to be that of pizzas, right? World has fallen for strange pizza recipes for a long time now. Someone tried to change the crust of the Italian delicacy to that of watermelon, and we're not sure how to feel about this this morning. Ollie Patterson loves to cook. His Instagram handle is enough to tell you about his passion. He shares live videos. What no one expected was a video of him making watermelon pizza, which he posted on Instagram and TikTok. In the clip, he cut round slices of the watermelon, fried it on both sides, spread a sumptuous amount of barbecue sauce and low-moisture mozzarella, and baked it in the oven. What he received as a result changed perceptions of our favorite snack. Who knew this could be done? So, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about this.
It's another trend, really, and that's finding different things to put into a pizza base that aren't flour. Mm. You know, you get cauliflower bases, you get charcoal bases, and watermelon's also quite famously been used in another vegan recipe for almost like a roast pork or a big piece of beef in the oven, where it was scored.
Yeah.
And then you roast it for like, I don't know, days and pour lots of that barbecue-y stuff on it as well. So, I don't know. I just let people be. But I will tell you, I went to Willie's and I picked up one of these snacks that was new and it had charcoal biscuits in it and a piece of cheese. And I thought, well, I've always wanted to try these stupid charcoal biscuits. And I opened it while I was in the car driving home.
Yes.
And it was so bad. It was so gritty. It was so horrible that I ended up throwing it out the window.
Oh, God.
And then I actually got angry that someone had put that in a package. So I made a U-turn, and I went back, and I drove over the biscuit. I was so annoyed with this charcoal biscuit.
A little bit of undealt with aggression there, Leanne.
But
so don't try your watermelon.
Yeah, watermelon pizza
base on
sorry.
Me.
What do you think of this, Mbulela?
So a couple of weeks ago, I was in a setting, and I thought, oh, that lady's attractive. Started talking, and we ordered food and pizzas and stuff. She ordered Hawaiian, and I stopped talking to her. Pineapple, and I'm not kidding. She stopped being attractive to me because do not put pineapple or tropical fruit on pizza. You are such a horrible person. Whoever you are out there eating Hawaiian pizza, you are so deeply, there's something wrong inside. Seek deep help. Get somebody to help you. It is so disgusting. It is so disgusting.
Come on. It's ridiculous.
So I'm usually quite a stickler for like proper cuisine and you know, I fully understand Italian cuisine and the history behind it. I mean, already in South Africa, we're overloading our pizzas. If you have a proper pizza in Italy, you get a mushroom pizza or you get a ham pizza. You know, that's the way it works. But for me, it's one thing I allow myself to do because I love Hawaiian pizzas. Or banana.
You know what? I'm glad that just like the mushroom discussion about all those ancient humans who tried mushrooms for the first time and some of them died and all the rest of it, you guys can carry on doing the experimentation with watermelon pizzas and barbecue sauce, which is such a gross combination. Ugh, just makes me it makes me queasy, actually. You can try all of that shit, and you know what? If it takes off, good. I'm not going to be joining you on that trend. I'm with Bulelo's first statement on this, where you can have, you know, 10 maybe meals that you need in your life, and that's it. I've mentioned before, if I could find a pill that I could eat in the morning and that would be sufficient to fuel me through the day, I would be happy with that. I'm not a foodie at all.
Mm-hmm.
So all these bizarre and exotic recipes, I think it's boredom. I think it's people who are bored and they've been sitting at home, and this is a direct result of lockdowns that this man has made a watermelon pizza. It's not creativity, it's desperation. It's desperation. It's sad. The furore caused by banning vegetarian and vegans would simultaneously identify the soft generation. Ban steak and you will find the people you don't want to fuck with. That's from Michael. Well, that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea. Imagine if you banned vegetarianism and veganism. I mean, you'd have an outcry, but it wouldn't be like those people would actually be able to do anything.
Mm-mm. They just tie their man buns tighter.
That's a very interesting point. If it ever came to a fight between the vegans and the and vegetarians on one side and the carnivores on the other, I know which side I'd be on. Right?
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you there's no army in the world composed only of vegetarians and vegans defending our liberty. No, there's no such thing. No way. Please say pizza the way that Michael Flax would. Potza.
Potza.
He calls it Potza.
Oh. Cool. I have an ex uncle.
Yeah. Ooh, that's complicated.
Yeah, it is.
An ex uncle.
But he says, well.
Is he dead? How does he?
His father's dead, so there's no longer a connection.
You're still related. Anyway, all right. Yeah, go ahead.
No, we're not related by blood.
Oh, an ex uncle. All right, go on.
And he says pizza.
Pizza.
And, you know, as a joke, we in our family, if we write the word pizza, we type P-I-T-Z-A-H. And he also said in a restaurant, when we were sitting in a restaurant once, he ordered something off the menu and he said to the waitress, I'll have the guiche.
Oh, my God.
Just highly annoying.
All right. Winsterian Pikachu says, India is half vegetarian and one of the biggest armies in the world. Watch out. Oh, yeah. Ooh. Everyone's terrified of that there Indian army.
They just want to draw cricket. Great food, but they just want to draw cricket in the afternoon.
Only obese pigs that can't wait for dessert. Mur something sweet on, like pineapple. Wow, Neil's like Burilla, very judgmental. That's unbelievable. Shit. Jesus.
My God.
Calm down, everybody. Well,
there's something that I've had before and I don't really understand and won't have it again, and that's like figs and camembert on pizza.
No.
Those are two things I could
The
not
rule
have.
Is no tropical fruit on on pizza, no.
I'm kind of with you now. In the beginning, I thought you were being a bit of a Nazi about this, Bolelo, but I kind of agree now. I'm with you. All right. Those are the headlines for this morning. Believe it or not, pizza made it into the headlines this morning. Who knew? But Leanne has an interesting story about nature. And this is where we need to turn our attention back to the oceans. And scientists have apparently found the fossil of a deadly four-legged whale. I mean, this is the most horrible thing. You know how Gord used to tell us about these giant birds that used to live in the Jurassic and the Triassic era, and how these things would come down and eat, just scoop up like a whole herd of bison and like swallow them back and in flight, you know, just these terrifying flying
like
lizards.
Like hundreds and thousands.
Oh. Just scoop up like and a bit of earth and some trees and whatever and just knock their gullet back and just swallow the whole lot. Just a giant flying reptile, which is terrifying on every level. And these things, now this is a mammal. It's a deadly four-legged whale that had a jackal-like head and lived both on land and in the sea. I mean, Jesus.
I mean, imagine a whale roaming the earth.
Oh, my God.
With four legs.
So just describe this, and then I'll see if I can put this picture up at the same time. But just describe it to us, Leanne. I mean, people need to be horrified this morning. Let's give them something to be horrified about. You want to be grateful for living in 2021? Well, this is number one reason. Go on.
So this just shows you how the earth has changed as well and our water levels. But this 43-million-year-old freaky old whale remains were found in Egypt's desert, in the western desert.
Yeah.
And it's about a 10-foot amphibious specimen.
Oh, my God.
And it conquered both land and sea with its paddle feet.
Mm-hmm.
They're calling it Phaeomycetus anubis.
Oh, my God, anubis, that's horrendous.
He's the jackal-headed god. Mm-hmm. According to the paper published, this whale has this unusual bottleneck-looking jaw.
Oh, my God.
And has a strong natural feeding style associated with it.
All right, so you want to see what it looks like if you're watching us on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, this is this monster. It looks like a seal or a dog with a tail, a long dog-like tail, and then it's got this mouth that's almost shaped like a dolphin's beak, but it's got full of teeth. and it paddles around. It's just terrifying. How big was it? Jesus.
10 foot.
Oh, my God. Why all these scary and disgusting things on the show this morning? And this thing could go on and land and on sea, right? Ugh.
Well, that's the thing. And it represents this midpoint in modern whale transition from herbivorous,
mm-hmm.
deer-like terrestrial mammals into carnivorous and fully aquatic animals.
This is actually a good description. If you aren't watching the show live on YouTube and you prefer to have a description of this, Tracy's provided the best one. It's like a polar bear with a long snout, an angry platypus. Kind of, yeah. That's sort of, it's just horrific. You know, these creatures that lived before men walked the earth, we are so lucky that we arrived at the time we did. Forget about everything else. You know, the technology and people are worried about climate change and we're worried about starvation and hunger.
Coronavirus.
Veganism. All this shit. You have nothing to complain about. If you'd lived at the time that these monsters walked and roamed the earth, you would be just food. You would just be food.
Yeah.
There would be no other purpose to your life. People go, what's the meaning of life? If you were around then, food. You would be a meal to a Allosaurus or a Quetzalcoatl or whatever. What was that other thing called? That this thing, Anubis, this monster. You would have just been a snack. Oh, what is the point of life?
Like lying on the beach would just not be an option because that thing could come out of the water anytime.
Yeah, you get like Paris Hilton tanning on the beach in Malibu, and she's lying there and she's taking in the sun with her sunglasses on, going, "Oh my God, I can't believe that the Kardashians are more famous than me." And then this thing comes like a lizard comes out of the water with that sort of motion with its front paws. And it just scoops her up in that giant beak and just crunches her bones and swallows her. And like 15 minutes later, shits her out and starts looking for her sister. That's just unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. How is this whale not found in Australia, where everything on land, in the sea, or in the air originates? I don't know. Is that, Michelle, I don't think everything originates from Australia. Otherwise, we'd all have terrible accents.
No, I just think that, you know, they do have horrifying animals. I think she may be making a reference to the fact that, you know,
everything horrifying
Everything horrifying. Their spiders are just the deadliest. They are a bunch of criminals, and they are the descendants of criminals. That's what she means, I think. So,
well,
totally with you, Michelle.
Coming up at 8 a.m. today, you don't want to miss our third Gen Next interview with Lebang Khosana, who you know now from the show very well. She chats to someone called Siyabonga Zungu, who is the brand manager of Proudly South African, and they are supporting all the local brands and how the youth market can enhance the value of local brands. So don't miss that at 8 o'clock this morning with Lebang. Also, that 80s show is coming up today, which is Leanne's favorite time on a Friday, and she's been a guest on that show before. She's the only one who knows it from the inside, right, Leanne?
Yeah, it was fun being on the inside.
So coming up today,
very different to this show, that's for sure.
Coming up today, they've got Wendy Oldfield, who is a South African music legend. She will talk about starting out at just 19 years old in the 1980s as the lead singer of this could only be an 80s band, sweat band. Right? Only in the 80s. Dealing with that sudden success at a young age, how she's managed to keep her genre-fluid music over the years and her new album. You can listen live at 9 a.m. or at 5 p.m. Then you can check out that 80s show on South African Facebook for more. You can go to That 80s Show SA if you want to join them on Facebook. But go and listen to it live this morning. It'll make your day. I'm still kind of pleased with the weather. I'm sitting here in a T-shirt this morning, and, you know, I was worried that my birthday was going to be the onset of a major cold front. Still not seeing it. And I know people are saying, but just you wait.
Coming.
Just you wait. It's coming tomorrow. It's going to be so, so cold.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Cape Town.
Suns out.
Cape Town's got these huge swells, and then the wind carries that water as well. So yeah, we've got a bit of a weekend ahead of us.
Well, we've also got a bit of a fight ahead of us on the show this morning. Well, I'm not going to characterize it as a fight. It might be just an interesting info session. So we got someone called Sean on, And we've been hitting New Zealand very hard on the show. You know, we've been saying terrible things about Jacinda Ardern. And I've got lots of friends in New Zealand, and I don't mean to upset them. They listen to the show every morning. It's their connection to South Africa. And, you know, we don't want to be one of those places that we mock and ridicule people for their really difficult life decisions. Like, do I want to live in Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Canada, Brazil, Europe? You can live wherever you want. I've said that before. But Sean is going to talk to us this morning about what New Zealand is like for South Africans, because we've been speculating about this for about 2 weeks now, and we want to know what it's really like. So Sean has got experience of this. He's going to tell us what it's like. He's coming up on the show in the next hour, and there's plenty more, including George Meany, Borge, as Leanne calls him, and so much more. So stick around for that. CliffCentral.com. Friday morning. Woohoo! The weekend is here, motherfuckers. CliffCentral.com.